news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super fab all the time, Mr. Rob Center on the other side of the glass, taking great care of us. He's why the podcast is up and running from our previous interview and why this podcast will be up and running shortly after we interview movie Mike McGranahan, a professional movie critic and author and women in cinema advocate. And he always brings his new reviews to our studio, so welcome aboard.
Good morning, and that intro music was very mysterious, wasn't it?
It's good stuff. Let me think. What is it?
I liked it. It set an ambiance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. It's creepy. I'll think of it. I know who it is. I'll tell you in a minute. So, in the meantime, something else not at all creepy and great fun for kids and entertainers, The Little Mermaid. Your review thereof.
The Little Mermaid is the latest live-action CGI the Disney animated classic. I hate this trend because what's the point of making inferior versions of movies everybody loves? For my money, the remakes of The Jungle Book, The Lion King, and Beauty and the Beast were all garbage. Even though there's technically no need for this new film to exist, it's at least better than those others. Halle Bailey is Ariel, the mermaid who dreams of experiencing life above water but can't because of her stern father, played by Javier Bardem. She gets a chance to fulfill her wish after getting conned into a bad deal with Sea Witch Ursula. Melissa McCarthy assumes that role, and she makes a fantastic villain. The musical numbers are fun too, especially Under the Sea, which features dozens of aquatic animals dancing alongside Ariel. The best part of the movie is Halle Bailey. She's absolutely perfect as the title character, and when she sang Part of Your World, I got goosebumps. This young woman is a superstar. The Little Mermaid didn't need to be almost a full hour longer than the original, because that slows down the pace occasionally, but on the whole, I enjoyed this film a lot more than I expected to. On a scale of 1 to 4, I gave it 3 King Tritons.
Wow, okay. So you enjoyed it. Yeah, a lot more than you thought you might.
Yeah, I mean, I have not liked any of the previous Disney remakes. They seem pointless to me. I sat there in the theater watching The Lion King, and all I could think of was I would rather be sitting watching the original Lion King. You know, these movies are inferior to the ones that they're remaking. But this one actually worked. I think that this one is fun, and the live-action CGI combination does work here. Makes that undersea kingdom come alive. I saw the film in 3D and was really glad I did, because you see coral swimming by you and teams of fish, things like that. Whenever Ursula unrolls her tentacles, they sort of come off the screen at you. So I thought that this movie was a lot of fun.
Okay, and is it... If somebody's never seen the other one, do you have to see the other one first?
No, it tells pretty much the same story. They made a few alterations and a few minor things, but the story is basically the same.
The story is the same. No big additions or anything like that?
There's a couple new songs.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Great. So the music is great. And the acting, of course, you got some real classic folks there and a new one.
Well, yeah, Halle Bailey, you know, she's a very talented singer, a young celebrity, a lot of older people might not know her, but she's been popular with kids and teenagers for a few years now. And this movie, when it was first announced, and even now, there are people who are outraged at the fact that The Little Mermaid is now being played by a black actress. And what's great about this movie is that she gets the last laugh on all of them. She is perfect as Ariel. She sings beautifully. She acts the character, and it feels, you know, feels sort of like a human cartoon. She hits that note that you needed for The Little Mermaid, and she absolutely shows up all the people who were criticizing her simply because of the color of her skin. She is, like I said, a superstar, and this movie is going to launch her career into all kinds of new places.
And how do they do that, where she appears in real world, but she's clearly still animated, you know, digitally created? How did they do that?
When she comes on to land, she gets legs, so that's normal. When she's undersea, they just use CGI to create her tail. So I assume she was wearing some kind of special green costume that allowed them to superimpose the tail the mermaid tail over top of her. But the effect is really convincing, and when the characters are swimming around in the water, it looks real. It doesn't look like they're pretending to be underwater. It looks like they really are. So the visual effects in this are quite good.
Well, and the trailer is only 2D, and it looks enthralling. So
yeah, 3D is the way to go in this one, as far as I'm concerned.
Fantastic. All right, so The Little Mermaid.
Three King Tritons.
King Tritons, of course. Got to have that in there. All right, so that's The Little Mermaid, and that's just in theaters, I would presume.
Yes.
Certainly that's where most of the 3D is. Home 3D still present, a force in our business?
No, not really. They've basically stopped making 3D TVs, which is a real shame. Maybe they'll start again now that Avatar kind of brought the format back a little bit more in popularity, but it's almost impossible to find a 3D TV new anymore.
Okay, so that's not really happening. All right, you have a mini review of About My Father, so tell us about that.
Yes, this is a comedy starring Sebastian Maniscalco, a stand-up comedian who's kind of making his starring movie debut here, and he plays a guy who, in his 40s, has finally found the love of his life. He goes to her parents' house on 4th of July weekend to meet them and hopefully to ask them if it's okay if he proposes. They're a very, very wealthy conservative couple. His aging immigrant father, played by Robert De Niro, wants to tag along. And, of course, De Niro gets there and just does one thing after another that embarrasses his son. This is one of those movies I chuckled a few times when it was sticking to being an observational comedy about families and family relationships. But too much of the movie gets into broad slapstick comedy that just is forced and not funny. And I think that the movie really, longer goes on, loses what was initially interesting about it, which is that culture clash between an immigrant and a very rich family. So 2 stars for About My Father. Like I said, I laughed a couple of times, but just not enough to recommend it.
Why does he do these films?
De Niro?
Yes.
You know, he kind of reinvented himself after Analyze This came out back in the 90s. He sort of moved over to doing a lot more comedies. And he can be very funny, but his taste in comedy material is usually not as good as his taste in dramatic material. And it really hit a low point a few years ago with Dirty Grandpa, which is one of the worst movies to have come out in the last decade or so. And, I don't mind him in these comedies. The War with Grandpa was another one that was kind of like this. You know, could have been funny, but was just stupid. I'd like to see him either pick better comedies or stick to dramas.
Right. He could do some comedy that really hits it out of the home run.
Yeah. Meet the Parents. I mean, he was very funny in that,
right.
But that was good material.
He's capable of anything, so.
Yeah.
Other than rescuing a bad script, apparently.
Yes.
All right, he raises it up, but it doesn't save it. Danny Masterson, half our audience is saying who, but you bring us the whole story.
Yeah, the actor who was on the very popular TV show, That 70s Show, he was convicted this week on 2 counts of rape and is now in jail and is looking at up to 30 years in prison. And this is an interesting story, not just because he's a celebrity, but because he is a very famous Scientologist. And Scientology teaches people that if something bad happens to you, it's your fault. And so the women that accused him for many years, they were also members of Scientology, they sat on it. They did not report it because their church was teaching them, this is your fault, you need to do something differently. They eventually, fortunately, got away from that mindset and did file charges against him, and now he's going to jail. So this is not just a big blow for him in terms of essentially ending his acting career, it's also a blow for Scientology.
And we will see this as an end to his career. That's that.
I mean, he's going to go to jail for a very long time, yeah. So okay. You won't see him in anything.
Every so often
soon.
You see run-ins with the law. Somebody can come back, but this is too much for him to overcome. Martin Scorsese, did he meet the Pope? Please tell me while he was over there.
He went over there, yeah. Apparently he met the Pope or attended a lecture or something that the Pope was giving, talking about arts. And Scorsese says that he was so inspired that he's going to follow the Pope's call and make a movie about Jesus. Now, of course, Catholicism has run throughout Scorsese's films as a theme, and he already made one movie about Jesus, 1989's The Last Temptation of Christ, which was very controversial. So it'll be interesting to see what his new take on Jesus' life will be. He's certainly one of the greatest filmmakers who has ever lived, so whatever he does, I'll be very excited to see it.
Yeah, whatever it is, so you know that it'll be done comprehensively. It'll be the best work of its type, looking at that topic.
Yes, definitely.
But we don't know too much about it other than that.
He's not telling what the story will be yet or what his angle will be.
And this will leak out. out when they're in plain sight filming and this sort of thing, mm-hmm. I guess, right?
Yeah, we'll eventually hear more about it.
Here's Jesus driving a car or something, so that kind of detail will leak out. Although he, like many directors, will shoot fake scenes to throw off people so they don't catch what they're really doing. So maybe he'll do that. Tribeca Film Festival gets underway. This is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, speaking of Robert De Niro, he started this film festival after 2001 to try to bring business and attention back into the Tribeca area. And it's become one of the most important film festivals in America. Starts next week, and for the first time ever, I'm going to be covering it. So if you're interested in the movies that are going to be screening at Tribeca and getting some reviews of some early films, I'll have them on my website, aisleseat.com, starting next week. And a lot of really interesting films being programmed there this year, so I'm excited to be able to cover this for the first time.
You'll watch them along with the critics and everybody else and the people to whom the films are being introduced?
Yeah, they're going to make everything available to me. I'm covering it remotely because I don't like to leave my family, so I got accredited to cover it remotely, but I'll have access to the films and
wow, good for you. Okay,
like
well,
that's
exciting.
Yeah.
We'll get some autographs virtually while you're up there, if that's feasible. All right, fantastic. What are you going to see this week? What's on your agenda?
I already saw next week's movie that we'll talk about, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So this weekend, I'm going to be advanced screening a few films so that I have those reviews ready to go while I'm covering Tribeca.
Okay, and you, what are other critics saying about Spider-Man? Withhold your opinion, but other folks are saying?
Reviews are glowing so far.
Good, fantastic. Okay, and you have a smile on your face, so that, that means you're not. It's going to be in the three territory probably next week, but we'll have to wait and see. Movie Mike, thank you so much. Can't wait to hear about Tribeca and Spider-Man.
Yeah, thanks. See you next
much
week.
Much appreciated. Movie Mike McGranahan, as he mentioned, aisleseat.com, and you can follow him on Twitter, at aisleseat, and his appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.